This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We are happy to have you here with us. We got a lot to get to, man, over the next hour because, Mike Bell, we're counting down to the draft. Now, today, I mentioned this earlier when we had Joe Patrick on. Ohio State had their pro day, right? And there were a lot of people there, contingent from the Falcons. Guys, they're doing their due diligence on all these players. I'm not telling you they like an Ohio State player more than they like a Georgia player. I'm just telling you they are watching and looking at all of these guys. And as they're doing that, some of this quarterback carousel stuff is playing out. But, Mike, before we get to that, let's talk about how the Falcons have been able to do some of the things they've been able to do.
Yeah, we said it, and we predicted it, and we were ahead of it. And there's only so many ways you can find the money, right? Where's the money coming from? Spotrac was the first to have this, guys. Falcons basically moved some money around. We knew they were extending Jake Matthews at some point. They did freeze up $8.5 million. They salary convert A.J. Terrell's deal, freeing up $10 million. Same goes for Chris Lindstrom. Basically, you're going to do this with guys you expect to be around your team for more than 3 or 4 years. So when we talked about Matt Ryan was like the money bank. He was the store, or the money store, I should say, for the Falcons all those years. But so Lindstrom, A.J. Terrell, Matthews. So now when you take away what it cost to draft, pay your draft class with the picks we do have, we've got about $12 million, less that. Was it $7 million, Chris? We've got about $7 million in cap space. And we talked with Joe Patrick earlier. I guess they're cool with Ryan Neusel. I know that there are still some other guys out there. I know that it would be interesting to see just what exactly the Falcons could still do, Carl, but they do have some wiggle room if they wanted to.
Okay, so all the guys that we expected them to basically move money forward, and they right. did, guys that can still play, guys that are currently under contract and in their prime, it makes total sense. I have no issues whatsoever doing this to create some more money to do the things that they needed to do. Now, with the draft, though, Mike, and let's talk about Cousins specifically, what can we expect back from a post-draft trade for Kirk? Should we wait as long as possible to get the highest value from a desperate team or try to do this as quickly as possible? The reason why this is becoming even more interesting is, one, we said this late yesterday in the show, Russell Wilson, and there's a picture out now from the Giants, him signing his deal, signs a one-year deal with the Giants. It's worth $10.5 million up to $21.5 million with incentives. So the Giants' job, basically with Jameis and Russ, and they have the third overall pick, you have to believe they're probably going to go quarterback. That job's out of the question. The Pittsburgh job is still open, and yet Aaron Rodgers has yet to make his decision. And then today, we were talking about this last hour, guys. The Vikings general manager came out and said, look, we'd love to eventually have McCarthy as our QB1. It's what we want. But when he was asked specifically about Aaron Rodgers, and I want to make sure I read this correctly, Mike, because I was like, oh, he left the door wide open talking about, can you rule out Aaron Rodgers as a possible quarterback addition? Quote, the general manager for the Vikings, for me to sit here and say anything is 100% forever, that's just not the job. What?
Yeah, and it's funny because, okay, I understand that you've got a guy that you feel maybe is looking pretty good. A year ago, he was throwing touchdowns in preseason. There was no doubt he was going to start the season. And then you just fell into, or you had Sam Darnold as a backup. It worked out well for you. But Kwesi Adeoemezah has been basically saying that now he's playing it like really close to the vest. And they've also they've suggested J.J. McCarthy needs to get on a Stairmaster and lose some LBs.
He's doughy.
Because he's not exactly in great shape since he had the injury. But it is going to be very interesting to see if Aaron Rodgers, and that's why he hasn't just signed on the line with the Steelers. He met with them. He was in Pittsburgh for a couple of hours. I mean, that seems to be a team. Vikings are ready to go. They needed better quarterback play than Darnold. They could have beat the Rams, potentially. They obviously couldn't get that the last two games. They could have been the number one seed last year. Remember, Darnold choked.
That's right.
Now, here's a question. What is he, 42? Is Aaron Rodgers going to be able to do better for you?
I just don't know. My point about the Rodgers thing is, if him and Kevin O'Connell, the coach, have had lots of conversations, which is the report, then it means that door is open. And if the general manager is saying, I can't 100% say anything's forever or for sure, you're leaving the door open for Rodgers to make a decision now, which is crazy,
right?
Minnesota potentially, or Pittsburgh. And, Mike, by the way, Turtle just said, Russ told the New York media, I'll be the starter.
Yes, of course. Well, Russ should be able to beat out Jameis, I would think. But, I mean, you know, as I saw that it was Chris Sims said it on a podcast. It might have been on Pro Football Talk. But he was saying, guy could be wide open running down the sidelines. Russ can't hit him. He can't get the ball where you need it to go right now, on a go route, for instance. But anyway, Russ will be the QB. The New York Post beat reporter said he still thinks the Giants are going to draft Shedeur Sanders if he's available.
They do.
So that means, okay, where does he go? We got Cleveland. And there's another article, and Albert Breer went on the Sports Talk station in Cleveland and basically echoed his sentiments that he said on social media, that they will go with the best defensive player, maybe an edge rusher, maybe it's Travis Hunter, right?
Yes.
And then they go trade for Kirk Cousins. But we want them to trade for Kirk Cousins
now
or on draft night, so we still get something for him and we can actually utilize it for a pick for our presumable defense this year.
And that's why you say, all right, how long should you wait? As long as possible to just – well, waiting longer doesn't necessarily mean that more teams are desperate. There's only a certain amount of teams.
Well, then do the Steelers have any interest in Kirk Cousins?
I don't know.
That's
a good question.
I mean,
but Mike, I'll say this. If they get left out in the cold, and let's just say Rodgers goes to Minnesota.
Then they're going to get a phone call.
Then they are. Because now it's like, okay, we're not in a position to move in this draft to go to get one of these guys. And by the way, look, everybody's evaluations of these particular quarterbacks is different, but not every team is sold that either Cam or Shedeur are next level guys. A lot of these teams might believe that these teams or these guys are good, but they're not next level elite guys that are going to come in and change your franchise.
Chris just told me the Steelers don't have a second round pick this year, so we couldn't get a second. But I've never thought we'd get a second anyway for Kirk. I was going to be a third or a fourth at best.
DK Metcalf trade? Okay.
Yeah.
So they gave up their
second. They'd only have a third or a future second.
Yeah, I just find this fascinating because it's still like there are doors opening and closing that we didn't expect.
Would you take a third and a fourth?
Easily.
Yeah, in a heartbeat.
A third
and a fifth.
Yes. We need picks.
Right.
Right? We need additional
picks. I mean,
I
would take a third and a sixth. I mean, either way, but if you can get me a third round pick for Kirk Cousins, heck yeah.
Done.
We traded Matt Ryan to the Colts for a third round pick. We had no leverage in that deal.
And I don't know if we're going to have leverage in this one. That's when he made the decision to say, I'll wait till after the draft. I don't know if we're going to have any leverage in this one. You guys hit us up, 404-726-0929. You can text us. Find Mike, by the way. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put Him Up, See Dukes, and the radio show, Dukes and Bell, 929. That's social media, guys, and follow the radio station at 929 The Game.
There's no way, and I agree with Chris, man, just mentioned in my ear again, that Kirk Cousins is not going to it would say no to a trade to the Steelers. That's a good team that doesn't necessarily have somebody. Now, oh, my God, if the Steelers draft Jackson Dart, oh, Kirk can't go there. Kirk's tender sensibilities.
But that's a possibility.
Well, I mean, dude, you're going to go somewhere where there's going to be a plan for a backup.
Are you talking to him directly
yes,
right now?
Yes, Kirk. And again, we'd love to have you on the show, and I'll walk back Kirk as a jerk if you can explain, were you lying in the fall or were you lying in the winter at the Super Bowl?
How do you walk back Kirk as a jerk?
Kirk is a jerk.
How do you walk that back?
I would say, Kirk, I'm a very passionate fan, as you know. I don't sit in the press box. I'm a season ticket holder, and I wear my heart on my sleeve. And that's why I said what I said.
Okay, you can walk that back.
Thank you.
You can walk that back.
Yeah. It's like arguing with my wife. It's like, I know how to, how to do this. But
Kirk is a jerk. Kirk
I have said
is
it.
A jerk.
No, you're saying it too.
You made me.
But I just think, Kirk, you would never say no to the Steelers, right? But yeah, what if the Steelers draft Jalen Milroe or Jackson Dart? Is that going to, his tender sensibilities will be offended? If they go to Cleveland, okay? What if Cleveland takes a quarterback?
No. They could.
If I'm Cleveland, by the way, we just, take frickin' Shedeur Sanders and get on with your lives if I was them. And don't mess with it unless they really find fault in his game.
You think two or three Shedeur goes, right?
Yes.
Two or three.
I think the Giants still do it. I agree with the Post. I think they still do it even though they've got a run. Because it's 1 year deal.
Yeah.
1 year is not your future quarterback.
Yeah, this is a. You're right. It is a 1 year deal. You're right. The Eagles in that room, Jameis.
Right.
Tripping and having fun.
Right.
You got
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Us who's ultimately serious about damn near everything. Okay. And then you got Shedeur Sanders in there with his personality. Like, seriously.
You're going to have to basically pump oxygen into that room for those guys to survive because that atmosphere is going to be 90% ego.
Yeah.
And like breathing on Mars.
Well, my guess is Shedeur will come in and immediately hate Russ.
And Russ will hate Shedeur.
That's immediately. But we'll see. But point is, Falcon fans.
Oh, what's that? Coach Prime is visiting Giants camp today.
Yes,
Mr. Unlimited.
But the point is, Falcon fans, this thing is unresolved. When we thought we had it figured out a few weeks ago, it's completely changed.
Right.
Chris, we're talking about all the teams. Oh, all these teams will be interested. Door closed, door closed, door closed. Okay, so now where are we?
The Steelers, we could be that Hail Mary that you've been talking about, yep. Whether it's post-June. Now, obviously, we're very selfish. We want draft equity now.
Yes.
For 2025, we might not get it. But that's interesting. Now, here's the thing. If Cousins were to sign with the Vikings, two things. Number one, it's another great team with tremendous wide receivers and great skill position. Mm. And you get to stick it to Green Bay twice, which I'm sure his ego would love. You go to Lambeau, and they come to you, and you could basically beat the Packers twice a year, too. If you want to get the petty party going.
Well, you know he's petty.
Yep.
I mean, like, that's part of his makeup. We're talking about Aaron Rodgers, obviously. Hey, we've got some tickets to give to you. You want to win a pair of tickets to go see Ghost, Skeletor, World Tour, Friday, July 11th at State Farm Arena. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. We're going to give them to caller 5 right now. You want to go see Ghost. We've got your tickets for you. By the way, this hour is brought to you by our friends at Buffalo Wild Wings. Order Buffalo Wild Wings. Go pick it up on your way home or for your next event. Hey, man, we got more to get to. John Smoltz is going to come by. We're going to talk with Grant McCauley as we get ready for opening day tomorrow. It's not our home opener, obviously on the road against the Padres. Grant's going to join us in about 15 minutes. But when we come back, the strong arm story of the day.
The strong arm story of the day.
We are champions once again.
This is Title Town, baby. Yes, whether it's MLS, NCAA football, I still consider Atlanta part of Georgia fandom. And then, of course, Carl, now is that what it's called?
TGL.
Tomorrow's Golf League. You bet it is. Tomorrow's Golf League.
If you didn't know, we won the championship last night. Now, this is Arthur Blank's team, okay? And I'm going to let you hear what he had to say. For those of you who are going, I don't even know what this is. Here's what we're getting to, guys. This is the indoor golf league that Tiger and Rory, you know, they came up with this great idea. There are teams. We had a really good team, the Atlanta squad, and they were playing for the chip, and they ended up winning. But Arthur Blank was talking about this, Mike. You would have thought he won a Super Bowl last night.
We are the champions, my friends and me. By the way, Michael Penix, have you met Michael Vick? Did you see that video?
I did. It's funny. And look, I've said this. There are many of you who go, man, Arthur Blank is the reason why we ain't winning. That's not the reason.
He wants to win. It's just he doesn't really, I don't know, hire the right guy sometimes.
That's it. Okay? This particular team that they put together was great. They end up winning a chip. I want you to hear Arthur Blank talk about this, but we got to give him some credit because, again, Arthur has his hands in all of these different things. But it's like, look, you don't think he wants to win a Super Bowl for the Falcons? You're out of your mind.
Right.
He did this with Atlanta United. He invested heavily, Mike. The team, boom, immediately right. jumped off the ground. And then, you know, you look worldwide. We have attendance records and merch records and all this stuff going on with Atlanta United. Now, I know that the offense isn't what we want right now.
Right.
But the fact is, Arthur Blank does want to win. Here's what he said last night after winning TGL.
Well, it's just been incredible fun, really, throughout the entire season. It's unbelievable. This is match 19, and to think we're champions at the end of that, it's a credit, really. I want to name two players that are not here, Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy, along with Mike here. It was really their vision to come up with this. God bless them. And our team here, these four unbelievable players, and Ben over here was our manager on the field, and all of Atlanta could not have been more supportive and more exciting about it. And all of our guests who came here, they loved it. It's great for the game of golf. It's great to see the game of golf grow in a variety of ways, and this is a beautiful, symbolic way for that to happen. And we're privileged and honored to have the very first trophy.
Yeah, man, look, he's excited about it. He loves golf, as Carl mentioned, one of his many irons in the fire is the PGA Tour superstore and his involvement in the golf business. You were asking me earlier, who's watching this? Because the best numbers they had was the Tiger-Rory match. That was the match where Tiger got the penalty for too much time over his putt, which I think is great. How Patrick Cantlay doesn't get nailed for that every time, I don't know.
That's true.
But the numbers, look at the numbers. The viewership, it was at its best, about 1 million. That was the Tiger-Rory match. It did drop at one point. It was 682,000 after Tiger made his debut, averaging out about 900,000, which is okay. I just think it's how they present it. I think maybe you edit it more for TV, tighten it up.
Sure.
And I think you don't lose anything in that as far as the presentation, and have fun with it. What they miss, you and I kind of stumbled onto this. I said to Carl, what they need is David Faraday. Unfortunately, no one even knows where David Faraday is because he's on those broadcasts and nobody's watching for LIV Golf.
That's the problem.
But the numbers, by the way, young audience, 43%, and this is what you and I were talking about. If you're not going to go pick up golf clubs because of this, but you do like the simulators, you like the video game generation, 43% of the audience is 18 to 49. Which is gold for advertisers.
Okay, and look, I enjoy my video game golf. I enjoy simulator.
Right.
But there's only so much time I can spend in it. Like, I really enjoy being out in nature and playing the game and walking and doing all those things. For me, Mike, I watch about an hour, and I was like, okay, it's cool. Right. I like the fact that, you know, the undulation and they can move the greens and do all this stuff. And this putt, by the way, last night that they hit was incredible because it had two breaks and this putt came back. But that's the thing is like, okay, am I going to sit here and invest? I do think it's great for golf simply because golf is a daytime sport. If you're going to sit on the couch like we do when the majors, the Masters is on, and you're going to invest 3-4 hours, whatever it might be, it's your daytime. This is now a primetime event that you can put at night that a lot of people who weren't privy to or not going to invest that kind of time during the day, Mike, or on a weekend, maybe you put this on a weeknight and you're able to get those viewers.
And I think, you know, if you look at the time, sort of that dead period between football and baseball, for some of you, not NBA, because, you know, NBA ESPN was running and some nights TNT was on, so some of the competition was pretty good NBA games at times. But I'm with you. I think it's cool to throw something up on the wall and see if it sticks. I just think ESPN needs to be a little less serious with how they present it. Let the fun and the vibe flow. More celebrities hanging around. You know, turn it into like what everything else everybody wants. You know, a lot of grab bag. But they need better hosts. They need David Faraday kicking. Of course, he doesn't drink. It'd be more fun if he's kicking back with a cocktail and announcing it.
Right.
But that's how I would present it. I think you present it like almost like basketball. You know what I mean? Where guys are just having fun with it. But it is a cool idea. And again, Arthur Blank put something out there and some people dig it. And we want it. And that's cool. And we got, you know, Justin Thomas. What was it called again? Orin the Hammer?
The Hammer.
That, yeah, I love that idea, though. Imagine if you could play in a skins game. All right. Double or nothing. You know, two holes for the price of one on this putt.
I like the fact that we are champions. I just don't know what it means for the future of this event and certainly the league itself. You guys can let us know. 404-726-0929. Did you guys watch any of this, by the way? Maybe you watched last night because you got wind of it. I don't know. Maybe you've been watching all season long.
Right.
And by the way, love Billy Horschel. Love the guys that are on this team, Mike.
Right. Justin Thomas.
Yeah, I love the dude. I love those dudes.
He might be a good pick for guys who ever do those Calcuttas. And again, for a younger audience, sometimes under the lingo, what's that? Basically, where you buy in and you bid on the guy you think might win. And sometimes you have to bid for a guy with good odds, but then it pays off. There's a formula. But he'd be a good guy to pick for a multi-team Calcutta, multiplayer Calcutta.
I would agree.
I think he's on a heater.
I would agree. And with the Masters right around the corner. Obviously, you know, Scottie Scheffler. What's going on with Scottie Scheffler?
Yeah, baby.
And Rory are going to be the top two guys with Rory coming off the win.
You buy that Rory could win this finally? I mean,
I want to, but no.
It's almost like one day Rory's driver won't, he can't keep it on the fairway. Yep. Then the next day the putter doesn't work. Can he do it everything all together for 4 days?
That's the thing, all of it. And when he's crushing the driver, you know he's hitting the blank right out of the ball. You guys let us know, man. Texas, let us know what you think. It's just one of those things that gets us back to, well, Arthur Blank's the issue. No, he's not. No, he's not. He just put his hands on this, and it turned into another chip. He's trying to do everything he possibly can. The problem is, Mike, the Falcons, it's not his fault the GMs have picked some of the guys that they've picked, or right, the players haven't worked out, or some of the coaching decisions that have been made. And I'm not talking about his making the decisions. What about the Sunday decisions? The game, in-game decisions?
Well, that's it.
Those are the kind of things that ultimately come back to bite you. And I said this, for Arthur Blank this year, you know who feels worse than we do? We're a playoff team if our quarterback doesn't throw 9 interceptions in 5
but
weeks.
I will say this, and I know that we've asked, we actually, I mean, for guys who, you guys, you keep throwing softballs. No, we asked some tough questions this year, believe me. Being in the room with Raheem Morris sometimes got a little prickly. But I will say this, we asked Arthur last year, are you a meddler?
Mm.
And he's, I'm not a meddler.
I'm not a meddler.
But nobody can ever tell you where the Deshaun Watson thing gave him. I think that gave him Arthur. I think he liked the idea of Matt Ryan to Deshaun Watson with local ties, and you just plug it right in, and you don't miss a beat, and we'll just figure out the cap ramifications and the draft picks, whatever. I mean, I was excited at the time that thing dropped St. Patrick's Day a couple years ago. I was intrigued by it, even though, yeah, the moving parts would have been really hard to put together. And then you get into, well, where are we going with this two quarterback thing? You know, we've heard from D-Led. D-Led said that Raheem Morris from his time back with the then Redskins. So the Commanders really like Kirk Cousins, and that was who we wanted. But then the general manager was locked in Penix. Well, that's a problem. You got to have someone be the tiebreaker. But now Rich McKay's not involved anymore. So this, but at the end of the day, it all stops at Arthur's desk. So at the end of the day, yes, he is kind of an average owner when it comes to his football team. How about that?
Okay.
We love him. He's been great to us, but I think that Arthur gets in his own way too often.
But there are a lot of guys, and here's the deal.
In that category.
Correct. If you had $1 billion and you owned the team, you would be involved in some way, shape, or form. How much? I don't know. But I think to call him an average owner, Mike, how many of these owners have won multiple Super Bowls?
No, there's only a select few. You got less than half a dozen.
Half a dozen?
Right.
You're talking about, if that's the case, then all these owners are average. I mean, it's so hard.
Yeah, but that's the average. But the average is two Super Bowl. You know, he was not there for the first Super Bowl trip. He owned the team.
Correct.
2001 to 2. So in 23 years, we've gone to one Super Bowl.
One Super Bowl.
That's pretty average, I would say.
But go look at other franchises. That's what I'm talking
Lions
about.
Lions have yet to go.
It's incredible when you start talking about how hard it is to get to a Super Bowl. And by the way, did you think the Lions were going to get there this year? A lot of people did.
And they blew it.
This is supposed to be their season. All I'm saying is, and I don't have to defend it, the results defend itself. I just think this idea that he's the reason why we haven't gotten there is ridiculous. And, you know, everybody goes, well, what happened in Washington? You mean when they came in and got rid of the worst owner in football in Daniel Snyder, and the fact that they hired a coach and he hired an offensive coordinator and they went and got the right quarterback?
Right.
Is that what you're saying? Because if you look at the Washington team, guys, there's not a bunch of all pros on the Commanders. There's not. The team meshed, it came together, and all of a sudden they're in the playoffs, and guess what? Their quarterback's playing great.
I mean, Jim,
that's what happened.
I mean, Jim Irsay is a clown. They've won two Super – I mean, the Baltimore Colts, he's won a Super Bowl.
Irsay. But he had Peyton Manning.
Right. Tampa Bay, the Glazers are incompetent. They've won two. They got Tom Brady for one of those. The Ravens have won two. The Dolphins won two, but they won two when Nixon was freaking president. The Rams have won two, including recently. Eagles have won two. Two of the last three. I mean, two of the last six years, they're in. Broncos have won three, but maybe on the uptick. Giants have won four, not but going look, back anytime soon. My point is there's 10 owners in this league
but
in the last 20.
But the Broncos had two different ownership groups, and the first two were Elway, all-time great.
This one's
the
for John.
The next one was Peyton Manning, all-time great. There's a reason why.
We should have one. We know why it didn't happen. But the Steelers and the Patriots and the 49ers are the gold standard. Now, Jerry, you know, since Jerry's owned the team, he's won three. But since he's taken ownership of the team as far as everything on the field, he hasn't won jack.
Is he average?
Jerry Jones is below average owner in the last 25 years.
We'd love to hear from you guys. We're coming back. Grant McCauley's next. Grant, we are counting down to opening day tomorrow. It's not our home opener, but we get the season started against the Padres. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Grant McCauley covers baseball for us here on 92.9 The Game, and you get a chance to hear him every week as well. And Grant, I want to ask you this because we were talking about Ronald Acuna, and I'm not going to tell you I'm concerned, but it is a little bit unnerving that, you know, we're not getting any dates or potential, you know, return dates of when he might be out on the field. When do you think that's going to happen? I know you've been asked this a lot, but the Braves are slow rolling this, and it should it concern Braves fans?
No, I don't believe it should. And the reason why they're doing this, I'll say two things. Number one, no news is good news when it comes to this, because they were very clear over the course of the offseason. And when I talked to Alex Anthopoulos down in spring training, which you heard on 92.9 The Game right here on From the Diamond just this past Monday, they did not want to put the expectation of timetables on him or Spencer Strider, only to say that they hoped that Spencer Strider would pitch in games during Grapefruit League play. That happened. Ronald Acuna Jr. was going to appear in zero spring training games, and that is also something that's happened. But I think that within the next week or two, we'll start to get a better indication of where he is and when that rehab assignment starts, because when that starts, we're talking about 3 weeks, start a countdown to when Ronald Acuna Jr. could be back if he needs the entire rehab assignment, which I'm kind of anticipating this time around because he did not play any spring training games. But my concern level is pretty low. I mean, could anything happen? Well, yeah, sure. 2024 told us that. But in terms of everything we know, everything we've seen, everything we've heard, and everything Ronald has said and the team has said, it seems to be business as usual, but everybody's anxious to get him back.
All right, man. So we do like Jurickson Profar. We know what we got with Money Harris. So I guess, are they going to rotate Kelnick and De La Cruz kind of like a platoon, or how do you see it?
Yeah, that's kind of how I see that playing out. I mean, the everyday left fielder is going to be Jurickson Profar. I don't think they're going to be looking to move him around or anything like that. And obviously, Harris has got center on lockdown. That's a pretty nice thing to have when you're trying to get over not having Ronald Acuna Jr. out there. But Jared Kelnick's a very good defensive outfielder, very good arm, good speed. I think he's going to be fine. I thought it was a really good spring from Brian De La Cruz, who has some power. There are some holes in his game, particularly the strikeouts. The on-base skills aren't really as much as you'd like him to be. But deploying those two guys as a platoon in the first 3 to 4 weeks of the season, as you really start to anticipate Ronald getting back, I think it's an okay place for the Braves to be, and maybe a little bit more youthful, a little younger, and a little more upside than they had a year ago when they were just kind of trying to figure some things out with signing Adam Duvall late and wondering how they were going to, I guess, go about giving Jared Kelnick his first opportunity with the Braves. But I think that, you know, this is an opportunity of at-bats and playing time, and when Ronald gets back, it's going to be a little bit tougher for anybody that's the fourth and fifth outfielder on this team.
All right. I've been saying over the last couple of days that I think Drake Baldwin could be a pleasant surprise in this lineup. I don't know if that means once Sean Murphy gets back that Baldwin has established himself so much that he's taken up all the playing time. But I do think that he has a better bat. And if he does, Grant, how do you end up taking him out of the lineup if he comes up here and he's raking?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things you have to look at is, you know, Sean Murphy is the established major league catcher with a long-term contract. And Drake Baldwin is the prospect who's being kind of forced into duty because there's an opening. And, you know, not for nothing, he earned the opportunity by playing extremely well. If they had been concerned and he had had a flat spring and didn't look good defensively or at the plate, they might have been thinking about one of these other veteran catching options. I mean, they did sign James McCann. We saw that obviously. So they're trying to build depth at that position. But this is still Sean Murphy's job, unless or until it's not, and I don't anticipate that really changing. But this is a sneak peek, is kind of the way I look at it, at Drake Baldwin. I mean, he wasn't anticipating making the club when he came to spring training, but opportunities show up in all sorts of different ways. And I think that he is an exciting player that could really impress us over the first 2-3 weeks of the season, however long it takes Sean to get back into the lineup. But once he comes back, the idea, and I talked to Brian Snitker specifically about this, is they wanted Sean Murphy catching basically 3 out of every 4 games. That's what they got him for. They weren't able to do that last year, obviously, with the oblique injury. And, you know, the playing time also got, I think, handed out a little bit differently because of the fact that they weren't getting any offense from Sean Murphy, and they were getting it from Travis d'Arnaud at times. But this is the big opportunity. I won't say sink or swim, but it is a big opportunity for Sean Murphy to get his career back on track. And that's what he set out to do this winter. Unfortunately, he's had a setback in spring training, but I still think that, you know, this is the guy that they're looking for big things out of in 2025.
It is our man, Grant McCauley. Guys, he has some great stuff if you missed it last night. And again, all throughout the weekend, you're ready for opening day. He joins here on the waitfor.com hotline. I know we talked about the bullpen yesterday, but I'll just throw you on the spot here. Don't know what it would be as far as righty or lefties coming up, but let's say Sale goes 6 strong innings. Who's pitching the 7th?
Yeah, I guess it does depend on the lineup and where you are. But, I mean, Pierce Johnson and Dylan Lee are those guys before you get to Raisel Iglesias. But I was talking about this with the midday guys today even. Daisbell Hernandez is somebody that I'm looking at and really curious about what kind of role could he carve out, because he's a great arm. He's got an opportunity the last couple of years. They've even used him in the postseason. So why not see what this kid can do for you if you believe in the stuff in the arm? And he's getting outs at the minor league level, so see what you can do with him. You've got the second lefty in Aaron Bummer who can be kind of situational if you need him. But with a lefty starter like Chris Sale, I would imagine they'd go righty in the 7th, maybe lefty in the 8th, and then the righty, obviously, Raisel Iglesias in the 9th.
You concerned? This is what? Iglesias' 10th year? You think there's any fall off? He's been really good over the last couple of seasons.
I think he's still kind of in that prime mode. I mean, his strikeouts per 9 were down last year, but there were some nights where you just look at it and be like, wait a minute, did he just get that lineup out on like 6 pitches?
Yep.
And it's impressive. It's efficient. So if he doesn't really need it, I'm not going to argue with the results. They're there. The advanced metrics beyond that, I mean, it's not like he was giving up rockets all over the ballpark. He wasn't homer prone. He was just as incredibly efficient of a closer as I've seen that didn't involve a lot of swing and miss stuff. So it's going to be interesting to see this final year that he's under contract, what he has to offer. But if it's anything like last year, the 9th inning seems to be in very good hands.
It's our man, Grant McCauley. By the way, John Smoltz going to join us next hour at 6:20 and get his take
on the closers.
Speaking of guys who can start and close in his career, but we'll get his take on what he thinks about Braves pitching and everything else and the rest of Major League Baseball. Grant, in a nutshell, because I know it's a long conversation, so we'll do like the cliff notes on it, but we were talking with Tony Gwynn Jr., and I was talking about salary cap, and he was like, man, if we ever got that proposed, he said it would basically kill baseball for at least a year, maybe longer, as far as players on strike, owners in a lockout. So is that something we never have to worry about because they'll never be able to implement, even though I think we need it?
I mean, I'm concerned about it, and I will actually play devil's advocate and say I don't think that baseball necessarily needs it. The problem that they have is not the big spending owners. It's the ones who won't spend. So
right.
I don't really see that it's the top that's the bottom. I think it's the floor that's an issue. And I know that salary caps, and that's obviously a very long discussion, are constructed for a variety of reasons. But if you're talking about, and I've heard people say this, yeah, I'd sacrifice a season if it meant that we got all this spending under control. Baseball, it would not recover quickly from just punting an entire season. No sport would. Not in this era. It was bad enough in 94, 95. Now throw the instantaneous reaction of social media and just the overall echo chamber that is into the public perception of your billion-dollar industry shutting down because it can't figure out how to spend its money. That's just not a good thing for any sport. So I don't think the players' union's ever going to go for it. I could imagine that there is some in between some tweaks they could make to the current system, but I don't know. I really think it's the owners that, you know, are sitting on a lot of money and not really doing anything with it year after year. So I'm looking at the Marlins, I'm looking at the Pirates, the Athletics, or they spent a little bit this winter, but like, don't let that fool you. It's because they were under the scrutiny of never spending at all, and now they're trying to move and attract more eyes to their product. But yeah, I know we don't want a long answer here. It's a long discussion, but I don't see a salary cap anytime in the future. And if the owners try to implement it, I do see a very, very nasty work stoppage.
Grant McCauley joining us, talking about all things Braves. How competitive is this division going to be? Could we have 3 teams in the playoffs?
I think so. I mean, I look at the Braves and Phillies, and those are two clubs I expect to be in the playoffs. The Mets, it's a little harder to tell, but with the expanded playoffs and the fact that they got there last year and surprised a lot of people after a slow start, I won't rule them out. They've had some pitching injuries, some issues there. Their lineup, I think, is kind of top-heavy. Francisco Lindor has been much better the last couple of years, but he's never really had the superstar transcendent season that I think a lot of people, including myself, thought that he would have after his early career exploits in Cleveland, and he's just a year older. He's going to be 32 this year, so I don't know. It's kind of a team that I scratch my head about. They got Pete Alonso back, but he's kind of a feast or famine hitter, and obviously they spent a ton of money on Juan Soto. I think that they'll be competitive. I just don't know what to make of that club beyond, an 85-win team. Mm. But they could shut me up, they could surprise me, and they could do the kind of things they did last year, which was almost put the Braves out of postseason contention way all the way down to game 162.
I know that the ESPN guys have the Dodgers won, no big surprise here, but everybody is respect. Yeah. I mentioned Tony Gwynn in a conversation. He loves the Braves. Everyone loves his team. Do you feel that, Snicker, this is the last year for Snicker. That is official. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. He's done, right?
I have not heard that at all. So it's the last year that...
I thought he kind of made it sound like
he's under contract. That's breaking news to me.
All right. No, I just thought this was kind of his swan song. I've been talking about this all day. Like, well, so why has he not had a new contract?
I mean, I think this has kind of been at this stage. When you get to that age, I think you can kind of go year to year or every couple of years, which seemed to be kind of how they were doing it. But I felt like Snit last year, as soon as the Braves got knocked out of the postseason, was like, all right, well, I'm looking forward to being in spring training next year. So that did not indicate to me that he was a guy that was feeling like, all right, well, I'm going to wrap it up next year and take it on home, boys. So could that be on the table? Absolutely. When you get to the age that he is and you've done what he's done, there's really not a lot else to prove. Does he still enjoy doing it? Does the team still value his leadership? Those are the questions that you have to answer. But I have not heard anything to indicate that it is, a fait accompli that he is done.
Well, I'll stop saying that then.
All right. Well, look, we'll take Snit as long as he wants to be here. But, yeah, the last year of his contract maybe has a lot of people thinking that. Grant, great stuff as always, man. We're looking forward to opening day and seeing how this team responds. And, look, Padres are a good team. We talked about it earlier with Tony Gwynn, and a heck of a way to start the season out. I wish we were starting the season with the White Sox, but that's not the case.
No doubt. They lost a series to those guys last year, though. That's not good.
But I remember.
Good road trip. And yeah. We'll be talking a lot this year. I look forward to it.
By the way, tell people while we have you on your show. I know it moves around during this time of year, but when are you on the weekends?
Yeah, we are currently in the flex schedule, but baseball is back. I will be on Sunday morning from 9 to 11, 2 hours of Braves and Baseball Talk, a show called From the Diamond. You can find it right here on 92.9 The Game on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. I'm excited about an all-new season and having plenty of great guests over the course of the year. So I appreciate all the support, and thanks for having me, guys.
All right, man. Good stuff.
Cool. I appreciate, Grant answering the question. I just, you and I were talking about it, and I've mentioned it a few times, last week and this week. I was under the impression,
would
have had another deal in place for him because, as I said, last year he certainly dealt with more adversity than anybody in Major League Baseball for a team, as ESPN wrote in the article, to lose Strider and Acuna and lose Albies and lose Austin Riley and you still make the playoffs?
Big deal.
That's a manager of the year for me.
No, I totally agree. Hey, 6 o'clock hour is coming up, guys. Mike mentioned it. Hall of Famer John Smoltz is going to stop by. Stay there. We've got more Braves conversation on the way.